Hello, my name is Kate Cooper. I'm Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to this podcast, which is one in a series of five podcasts focusing on staying healthy at work. The Institute of Leadership and Management recognises great leadership as being multidimensional. We identify five dimensions: authenticity, vision, achievement, ownership and collaboration. We've broken these five dimensions down into 49 components, which enable us to organise our content, but also helps individuals access the leadership support that is immediately relevant to them. The component I will be talking about in this podcast is creativity, part of the dimension of vision, because visionary leaders encourage idea generation, maybe their own, but certainly those around them. I'll be focusing on three aspects of creativity. What is creativity? The creative self and managing the creative process. So a simple definition of creativity is to produce or use original and unusual ideas. And I think we all have a sense of what we think a creative person is, and it's often associated with somebody who's producing a great work of art, a great musician, somebody who's creating something new and unique. But of course, creativity at work is quite different, but just as important. So it's a way of looking at the world differently and trying to look beyond the obvious, so to look for connections between apparently unrelated things is a creative sort of behaviour, to look for patterns, to generate solutions rather than trying to get to the single solution that you think is there. And creativity in the technical sense, in which I'm talking about today, is very much about putting those ideas into action. And we need to be creative in order to make sustainable businesses. We need to find new ideas about what we should be doing and new solutions to old problems. We want to motivate and inspire people to use their creative selves in order to get the most fulfillment they can from their work. And all of these contribute to improve productivity. How we think often determines how we allow ourselves to be creative. If we, as Guilford in 1950 identified, if we're a bit too convergent in our thinking, where we're trying to look for a single solution, then we won't really explore all the creative possibilities that are open to us. If we tend to be more divergent in our thinking, and this is something of course we can enhance, then we will be more creative. You have to work hard to be creative. It's not a gift that doesn't require any sort of time investment or application on the part of the so-called creative person. If you have ideas, if you are imaginative, if you act upon those ideas, then you are in essence creative. Many people argue that we're all born creative. It's somehow stifled in us or not allowed to flourish because adults are perhaps directing us to be more convergent thinkers through our education systems. We learn very early about the importance of rules and regulations. We don't look for new ways of knowing. We just tend to see knowledge as being an extension of what we know already rather than looking for the new. So there are lots of influences that make us less creative than perhaps we could be. So in order to become more creative, we have to work hard. We have to try hard to be more creative. And that actually involves challenging assumptions that we might have about things, challenging existing situations. Well, why is it like this? How did it get like this? How would we like it to be different? And to think about different sorts of solutions to different sorts of problems, reframing problems, never starting from where you are in terms of the problem that needs a solution, trying all the time to reformulate and reconstruct it. So as a creative leader, you'd want to be looking for new problems, absolutely encourage collaboration and the combining of ideas. Although often people report having their best ideas when they're perhaps not even thinking about the particular problem. They might be out walking. Lots of people wake up with inspiration. These ideas in an organisational setting really only come to life and happen when they're shared, collaborated, refined, improved, co-created with colleagues. But any creative process involves making mistakes, two steps forward and one back. However you want to define it, it's an essential, inevitable part of that creative process. And the more diversity of input we can have in those early stages of problem solution, then the better our final solution is going to be. But the more untidy, the slower, the more frustrating those early stages can be. And often people don't like the anxiety of not knowing what a solution is. They want to get to a solution so they can feel content that that problem solved. And it's been able to stay in that moment of not knowing, of not rushing to a solution that will allow the more creative solutions to emerge. If you Google different ways of solving problems or being more creative, you'll get lots of ideas from the internet. One of the oldest ones is de Bono's Thinking Hats, where he encourages everyone involved with a problem to approach it from six different perspectives, and therefore giving all these new sorts of insights, different ways, reformulating the problems. There's another framework called Scamper, which encourages you to ask questions at seven stages of the problem identification and solution process. But what you really need to be mindful of, I think, if you're trying to be more creative, encourage the people around you to be more creative, that people don't like to fail. That's instilled in most of us from a very early age. Often at early stages of finding out, especially with access to the internet, we could have so many alternatives. How are we going to say what's relevant, what we need? We'll just feel overloaded, swamped with information. Because what we need to do is actually just give time to trying to find a creative solution to whatever our problem is that we're trying to solve. And be very mindful through that process. You're trying to encourage diverse views, different contributions, how demoralising criticism is. Because you want people in your teams to be creative. It helps them to feel valued, helps them to feel that they're contributing because their ideas are important to them. And different companies use different approaches to managing that creative process. I think we often think that some people are naturally more creative than others. That might be the case. Some people have allowed themselves to be more creative than others, given themselves space and permission to do so. And they can often be a downside to being the person that always has the ideas. People like that can be quite difficult to work with. They can be not very good at communicating their ideas because they're so clear to them in their heads, and they're often off with the next idea while you're trying to understand the first one. But however you choose, whether you give people a day off a week like Google do to have time away from their jobs, where you have massive brainstorming sessions that are properly moderated like IBM do, or with Pinterest have hackathons, so many different ways of doing this on a company-wide basis. But for all of us, start small, begin to create the environment where it's okay to make mistakes, where criticism isn't the default response to somebody coming up with something that seems unusual, where you're celebrated for the most off the wall, the zaniest ideas are the ones that are applauded. And you will create a climate where, as Google found in their research on teams, where people feel safe to contribute, safe to experiment, and that's a creative work environment. Thank you for listening. Please do go onto our website, www.institutelm.com. Look at our free resources there, and please do subscribe to this podcast.